Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, Anna.
As part of my management training with a subsidiary in Tabards, I'm doing commercial exploitation. Well, I do work in the village shop for £4.95 for a packet of obnobs. Anyway, Dumpty Dum, the documentary they make about me, is looking for a nice new sponsor. 35,000 listeners around the world, heritage English brand, and as many Tabards as you can eat. If you're interested, you can direct message Dumpty Dum on the Twitters. Thank you.
I am the Borsager blaster, that is Harriet Carmichael. With me, I have the stuck Catherine Wheel that's burning the fence down, that is...
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of our fireworks night is you. This week's Dumpty Dum comes from wherever Royfield decides to get it from. Lucy, if someone wants to send in a Dumpty Dum, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction, or force feed your husband with carrot batons, then ring us on 02030313105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and to Derek there in the back bedroom. Derek and Fat Paul have been on a tour of English villages this week. They went from Broadbottom to Cuppenham and Cockshot. He was just moving on to Rimmingham before Wallop, and now he's in A&E. There will be a prize for anyone who can work out which of these place names I did not just make up.
I know you didn't make Wallop up, because that's from near where I'm from.
Really?
Yeah, there are many Wallops. There's Lower Wallop, Nether Wallop. Yeah. Lower Wallop.
Is there an Upper Wallop?
And there is an Upper Wallop. Yeah, there's Upper Wallop as well. Oh, yeah, that's where I'm from. The Wallop, near the Wallop.
Near the Wallop. See, that's the kind of thing that you put in that it appears in Miss Marple and all the American people say, oh, for God's sake, stop patronising us. And you think, no, it's true. It's true.
No, it's true. And when I was younger, me and my friends used to go on our bikes to the Wallops with a video camera and make Miss Marple films for ourselves in the Wallops because it looks so Miss Marple around there. So that was where we set our films.
Was one of you murdered and then the other sat to?
Yeah, we'd do a murder and then, you know, just make up the story as we were going along. But it was really fun. We'd just go on our bikes with some costumes and, yeah, it was good. They were pretty good films. Old days.
Yeah. How did you film them? What were you filming them on?
Because my family had a video camera.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, so they were like an hour long because there was no editing. And we used to make all our parents watch, and they were obviously like, oh god, not again. I've got a wash to put
We've
off.
Done another one. Oh good dear. Well done.
Is it about a murder again? Oh yes it is. Is it the butler that did it again? Yes it is. It was really fun. That was always set in Wallop.
I used to write murder mysteries. And
Yeah,
no, they were absolutely shit. The mystery was that I never occurred to me that they were so blindingly obvious who had done it. I'd leave all these clues that I thought were terrifically cunning. And now, you know when you have a hot flush of embarrassment after something,
yes,
even though it's years off. And so I could be walking around the middle of a supermarket or something, and I'll suddenly go, oh my God, I'm suddenly remembering these bloody stories. And how convinced I was the next Agatha Christie. And it was terrible.
And you have to take a deep breath, don't
you? I know. You just think, it's all right. It's all right. I'm 43. It's fine. It's happened. It's gone. It's all right.
I found a poem that I'd written back at university in this sketchbook. And I had to just immediately rip it up. It was like, the rain is coming down. Shah. Oh my God. I thought, if my sister finds this, I'll never live it down. Ever.
But you know what? Those people that go in my teenage diaries. Who keeps them? If I find anything, I burn it. It's not enough to just put it in the recycling. I actually have to see it go up in smoke. Otherwise, I don't believe it. Really
someone bad. Will find that one day. Yeah, but what's annoying about my teenage diaries, they're always funny, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are always... I think they tweak them because they're always too clever or too funny.
And it's too punchliney as well. There's a bit that just fits in the right bit.
It's nothing too cringy.
No.
They obviously do something with them.
But you
didn't write murder mysteries for those murder mystery, you know, events then?
No, I just wrote them for myself. I thought, I used to read my grandma's Woman's Weeklies. And they'd have a page, you know, a page of fiction. And I couldn't do romances because I didn't know. Obviously, I was 8 and had no idea what I was writing. So I thought, I do know about murder, though. I clearly didn't, but I thought I did. So I kept writing Agatha Christie's.
Oh, we should have got together. You should have come up with the Wallops.
Yes, we could have cycled round the Wallops. Boring each other rigid. Yes, that's what we could have done, Harry.
Okay, shall I carry on?
Yes, sorry, diversion.
No, I like the, you know, but when I did this with Royfield, he got cross.
Oh, really? Oh, you might get cross. Well, all that will be edited out then. No one will know we ever spoke about that. Fine, carry on.
That's what I said, but I suppose he's doing the editing. So it's annoying for him, isn't it? Okay, I'll make a silence and start. On this week's episode, we have calls from Julie from Pickering, who's laughing her ass off, Andrew Horn, who's enjoying Neil, Kat, who's living in a bubble, Witherspoon, who's lost a dollar, and bye-bye Steve, who thinks we're all sheep. But first, let's have Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
Started the week with Susan shouting, left end down a bit, Neil, you're nearly there. Then they packed away the chilli and Neil had to go and clear the bonfire. They managed to lose a firework, a Borsetshire blaster. Neil was probably eating it. Susan's got him on such a tight calorific lead, he's now ransacking Eddie's lunchbox. No man should be reduced to snaffling another man's flapjack. There's a new man in the village. He's old, shy and stingy, and he's called Cecil Jackson. He is being played by Al Pacino, apparently, but we don't know that for sure, as he hasn't said anything yet. Kate endeared herself to one and all by suggesting Susan could stay in her comfort zone by playing a gossipy old crone. Kate is staying in hers by being a self-important, overindulged, pretentious twonk. You're using me like a pack horse, said Pip crossly to Toby as she staggered into the house under the weight of the illicit still he's setting up in the kitchen. Don't be silly, said Toby, stroking her on the neck and giving her a sugar lump. He said he picked some yeast up on the way back. That'll teach him to use the loo in a service station. Miranda demanded that Justin show his face at her opening. So he did, only to preserve the niceties, as he told Lillian. I should think Miranda's had her niceties preserved by a Harley Street surgeon, whereas Lillian's are pickled in Tanqueray. Elizabeth is afraid that Freddie is not having a nice time at college. I am afraid that Freddie's a bit of an arse.
Yeah.
Helen had a chat with Auntie Lillian about the boys after her interview with Rob's psychiatrist. The psychiatrist normally creates a file for the client. In Rob's case, she's got a skip and she's dropping the notes in by crane. Lillian was the obvious choice as she knows everything there is to know about good parenting. Look at James. No, actually don't. He's just put his pants on his head. Brian was chasing Adam. He's not picking up, apparently. That's unusual for Adam. He turned his phone off because he was up with the deer. And you know what they're like. Adam, you're always on that phone. Honestly, it's so rude. You were very brusque to David, said Adam. I wasn't brusque, said Brian. Well, I bet David thought you were brusque. Sesame Street this week was brought to you by the word brusque. Happy birthday to Piggy, who is celebrating her 194th birthday. Her family have decided to feed her into a coma. She's having 3 cakes, 4 tons of meat paste sandwiches made by Shula, lunch at Home Farm, tea at Bridge Farm, breakfast at Fat Paul's, a drink at the Bull, and supper in a diabetes clinic. Rob is after a hillside property, and Justin says he reckons Rob would make a model tenant. Yes, if you overlook the odd woman locked in the attic, bloodstains in the kitchen and custard everywhere. Jazza told Roy, who was nervous about his next date, that he needed to find his inner caveman. Well, he's got the language down pat anyway. He can just point at things and go, ugh. Poor Roy was bombarded with advice by his friends. Krusty, who got jilted at the altar and hasn't dated since, and Jazza, whose idea of a long-term relationship is the girl taking her knickers completely off. Krusty told Roy and Jazza that sex was not a game. Of course it is. Krusty thinks it's happy families. Jazza thinks it's strip poker. But for Roy, it's definitely kaplunk. So, what have we learnt from the Archers this week? That according to Eddie Grundy, custard slices are not a basic human right. I blame Donald Trump. The end.
You can't see, but I genuinely laughed throughout. I didn't want to be too loud because also you're so quick and everything's so funny, but I'm so slow, so I don't get the joke till you're well into the next one, like the Miranda one, which is really funny.
Shall I do it again slower for you, Harriet?
Yes, me. Getting you. Just that one. Oh dear, I think you should just do the Archers every week like that. Because also, I'm sure I missed a lot of that. I missed Miranda.
What, Miranda's opening?
Yes, Miranda opening her, whatever she opened in. I missed that. And there was some other stuff.
It was because Lillian was all huffy with her.
Oh, yeah.
Was all huffy with him. You see, I don't... What do you think about this Lillian and Justin? Because everybody said to me in the beginning... Because I was going, oh, she shouldn't be going out with him. It's just, you know, they always say, oh, yes, well, it's just sex and it's fine and it's a very 21st century thing and blah, blah, blah. But you see, it isn't, because Lillian is now getting pissed off when Justin has to go and do things with his wife now.
Yeah.
Because she would be, you know?
Yeah, and it's kind of got blurry because it's when they're talking to each other, they sound like an old married couple now, you know, rather than...
Yeah,
you know,
it's like Victoria Wood said, we're like an old married couple, no sex and a lot of arguments.
Yeah, then that's what they sound like.
They've skipped the romance and the fun and they're now on the, you know,
Toby and Pip.
Yeah.
You know, which that's now just become, well, obviously, so something's going to develop from that. But it's all got a bit blurry, hasn't it, I think. And,
What's your theory on the Brightons? The Brighton backstory.
Is the Brighton backstory that's now, you know, it was in recently, is that the same Brighton backstory that's been going on for ages?
Yes.
We had with Rex.
Yeah.
And we still never found out what was happening.
Because Twitter is divided between whether or not it is Zane, who he said has gone on a sort of a gap year. We decided that meant prison. Toby's friend, who's gone on a bit of a gap year. So I don't know if it's prison, then is it drugs?
Sorry, I didn't turn my face. Clearly, sauce everybody. Okay.
Oh, you want a pencil, Harriet? Was that a hard pencil?
I mean, it might have been a pencil. I might have to check my text or not. I don't want anyone else getting that job.
No one else gets on that pencil. It's my pencil.
I need that pencil. It's a bloody big one. Could Toby be having to go back to do, you know, when you have to do like, I mean, I've never
community
been
community service.
Yes. Or, you know, when you have to sign in and do
whatever
you have to do when you have to sign in. Probation or whatever it is.
Yes. Good point. Yeah. He might be on a tag. Pip would have noticed. I presume he takes his socks off.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, though. He could well not. He doesn't sound like the type of bloke who'd be overly concerned about, you know, the formalities.
Well, exactly. So maybe he covers his tag.
Oh, okay. Or maybe it's not on his ankle. Then she definitely noticed. Or someone said he's got a kid in Brighton, hasn't he?
Well, that's the obvious. That's the obvious, isn't it? That's what I thought originally, that he's got a little family in Brighton. Yeah. But then it could be a kid, couldn't it?
And I don't think Rex would have been able to resist telling Pip that.
Exactly. That's what I think. That would have come up in their arguments. And if it hasn't, then that's stupid and unbelievable, because Rex would have talked to he would have talked about his
response. I'm having lunch with Kerry on Wednesday. I should say to him, Harriet says you're stupid and unbelievable, Kerry. That'll endear you to him no end, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure he didn't write those episodes. They just make it up as they go along. Nobody minds.
No, you're right, though. That would be another plot hole you could canter through, because I think Rex has now lost his residual loyalty to Toby, hasn't he? He's now thrown him to the wolves, I think.
It would have come out. Unless, you know, there's some reason why they can't mention it, like, I don't know what the reason would be. Or maybe they haven't even decided yet. I hope that the scriptwriters haven't even decided what's going on in Brighton. And it's going to be like another Robin Helen thing, and it's going to be 2 years later. It's going to be, you know, something murky.
Or they'll go for the populist vote, and it will be an audience vote. What do you think? Press one for
a baby.
Press two for probation.
Like those books. Do you remember those books where you could choose the end?
Yeah, and you always ended up in a bloody crocodile swamp.
Always really disappointing. Some terrible anticlimax.
And then we all woke up and it was all a dream.
Yeah.
You just go furtling back to the page where you went wrong and then pick again, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That was so lovely, though, pre-internet. That was, you know, that
choose
felt really...
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That was it.
We could do choose your own adventure archers. That's a good idea.
I don't know, but also I don't really care, because I just find Toby really boring. I find Toby and Rex still really boring, I'm afraid.
Really?
He's not. I just find this kind of, now he's like being the lovable rogue, or, you know, they're trying to turn him into the lovable rogue. And I just don't really believe.
Do you think he's like the new Nelson? Are they trying to get him?
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's being set up so that he can eventually be that old, or a bit like Eddie, you know, like he was in his poaching days, kind of thing. There's a lot of work that needs to go into that.
Before we care.
Yeah, I don't give a, you know, tuppence. It's like my sister said about the, you know, she couldn't believe the ending of The Archers was somebody making beer. But I said it was beer. It was actually...
It was actually gin, and that, like, makes it so much more important.
Makes it much more relevant as well. She looked at me like, oh, just get along. But no, I mean, it's quite amusing, isn't it? But I don't really, you know... I'm not that interested in Rex and Toby. I find Rex really whiny and Toby not funny. I just really love Neil and Susan.
It's been so good at the moment. This, honestly, she's driving me nuts.
This was so funny.
Flipping photograph, honestly. When she said to Emma, oh, you've got to spend the money. But Emma was brilliant then. The chill in her voice, the temperature dropped about 15 degrees, didn't it?
Why? It's really believable when it's like, even though it's silly and funny, it's so believable because we've known those characters for so long. So we are totally, you know.
And bloody Susan was actually trying to get Ed not in the picture, wasn't she? She'd have had Alice in it like a shot with a, you know, with a big arrow saying Aldridge hovering above her head. Woo, woo, all did.
I loved it.
No. Oh, he won't. He won't feel comfortable unless he's had his nails done. You know.
And I just love. Yeah, I just love the whole eating thing. That was a really funny storyline, isn't it?
Yes, it's lovely. And well, it's good because it's absolutely true to form. Yeah, we know that is exactly what Susan would do.
And when we get onto the caller inners, oh, do I have to do the next bit now? Do I have to do? Should I? Oh, have we got on? To, no, hang on. Where have I got to in the script now? Then.
Oh, do you know what? At this stage, the script just kind of we jettison it, to be frank, and we catch up with it again later. I think you're supposed to say, and now let's see which caller inners have caller in.
Okay. Do you want? And now they. And now they're playing the caller in.
Oh. Yes. And now they're playing the caller in us.
Yes, okay.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Well, now what do we do?
So now we talk about Kat Brown's call, which you said was jolly intelligent.
Yes, I really liked that. I liked all the calls, obviously.
Hello, Dum-de-dum. It's Kat Brown here calling from glamorous South London. Tonight is election night, or me at time of calling, and the fact that I've been shouting at the radio so much more than I have been recently has put me in mind of something rather clever this the scriptwriters, nearly said speechwriters, clearly my mind is in politics land, that the scriptwriters on The Archers have been doing recently, namely making us see how other people feel. I am incredibly guilty of living in a sort of Twitter bubble where everybody thinks the same as me and pretty much everybody is quite left-wing or centralist or just basically thinks that Trump and Brexit are really, really bad deals. And so recently, part of the reason I've been shouting at the radio so much is because I find it absolutely unbelievable that people have not been calling out Rob for his actions. This has really been put into sharp relief tonight with this awful encounter between Justin and Lillian. And Lillian, of course, having been pounced on by Rob to live in Amside, which is so phenomenally tone deaf, even of Rob Titchener, that genuinely beggars belief. But it's this ensuing conversation with Justin. And I thought this was so clever because we haven't really addressed the fact that obviously he chose to hire Rob. And in this completely, again, tone-deaf conversation with his lover, whose niece, as she pointed out brilliantly bluntly, has been raped by the man that he employed, he's just going, but, you know, nobody's found him guilty. He hasn't been accused of anything, blah, 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 blah. And my God, it just made me think of Brexit and how that snuck through. So really good work from the not speech writers, from the damn script writers. But for the sake of my blood pressure, I really, really, really hope that somebody just throttles flipping Titchener soon, or Lillian takes a step back from Justin, because it's all too much. Anyway, hope to wake up to some good news soon, and hello to everybody. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
But I went, when my sister was going, what are you listening to?
Said,
I went,
shut up, listen to this.
This is actually really relevant to you as well, because it talks about the election. But I really, yeah, thought that was very clever, that call. Yeah, I mean, you know, intelligent.
I think, yes.
Calling out Rob for his, yeah, because I've thought that as well. I thought, yeah, why when he comes into, I mean, they have been shunning him, haven't they, when he comes into the shop and things, but. Well, I did think there is no way Justin would give him a job.
No.
But of course, actually, if you're someone like Justin, you know, that he would, because he's one of those people, like all those people who voted for Trump, who, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, he hasn't been proved guilty yet. And he's not that, sadly, not he's of that mindset, isn't he, that Rob maybe hasn't done anything
That bad. And also, you know, he's a good businessman, so in the long term he's going to make money, he's going to improve things. I think what was frustrating me about the Rob storyline, although Oliver slightly made up for it this week, actually most of the calls have been about Rob one way or another, most of the tweets have as well, was the fact that if people were being a bit standoffish with Rob and kind of saying, you know, when he came in, well, can I buy you a drink? No, no, you're fine. Like Ed, you know, no, you're all right. But no one said why. They just went, you know, which led Rob off the hook, because he could just go, yeah. Oh, well, fine, you just be a bit grumpy then. God, people in this village are really touchy, yeah. Whatever. But no one said, I don't want anything to do with you because you're a slimy creep and rapist, you
but
know.
You know- as well, it's also that, you know, because like everyone, I'm totally guilty of it, no one's the brave, somebody has to be the brave one,
yeah,
to say it first, don't they?
Yeah,
because when nobody else is saying, you know, it's like if you're on a bus and
yeah,
nobody's the first to tell the lunatic, the horrible bully on the bus to get off,
yeah,
you know, everybody just puts their heads down, don't they, because no one wants to be the first to say,
yeah,
you know. And create, nobody likes confrontation, do they? And
nope.
And so they just put their heads down and pretend.
Also, no, I think sometimes nobody's completely sure that other people are feeling the same way and that they are actually speaking, they are kind of...
Yes, exactly.
They've got the mood of the place, the mood of the bus right. But surely, yeah, people in Ambridge know that, you know, rapists are not welcome here, sort of thing. I mean...
So I guess if you've known Rob before you found out what happened with Helen... Yeah. And, you know, you knew him as the charming, you yeah. know, dad, all that kind of stuff. So you probably are still thinking, well, you know, he hasn't, you know, nothing, not, you know, he hasn't been found guilty of rape. Or, you know, maybe some people don't even know
yeah.
that he's, because he hasn't been tried for it, has he? So,
no.
You know, I guess they think some, you know, no smoke without fire, but.
Well, that was the thing, wasn't it, with Helen's decision not to prosecute him. He
yeah.
said to, when Oliver was there saying, no, you can't be part of the hunt, he said, well, so you're taking her word for it because nothing's been proved. And why haven't I gone to court? Because I'm innocent.
Yeah.
And it's so awful that he's now thinking, fine, you know, this never happened. And she's just hysterical and she's convinced everyone else it never happened. Because obviously, if it had happened, I'd be in court and I'm not. Therefore, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I can completely see why she doesn't want to.
Oh, God, yeah. I can totally see why Helen wouldn't want to go through with it. And also she, I can totally see why she wouldn't want to go through with that again. And, you know, for the sake of her children.
Yeah.
And also then, you know, I mean, it's so difficult, isn't it? But, you know, her baby growing up, you know.
Yeah.
Does she want her little boy to know that he's
yeah.
the result of rape?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's pretty hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes, the whole thing. The whole thing's just horrid. But it's just the more things that I think the cricket team was best when they clapped when he, you know,
yeah,
when they wouldn't let him in. That was good. That was like a proper "we don't want you get knotted" sort
yeah,
of thing.
It was.
Everyone else is a bit mealy mouthed about it. You kind of want Susan to be throwing tins of tomatoes at his head as he leaves the shop.
Someone just needs to pour a bucket of water. I mean, I found the Halloween thing quite annoying, actually, you know, when he came into the pub.
Yeah.
And the same again with the panto
yeah.
audition. I was a bit like, oh God, because when he's being smooth Rob at still, you know, as he is, he's still really believable. But when they're kind of, I just don't, he wouldn't have gone to the audition, would he? I mean, would he?
Well, it depends how unhinged he is. If you are that kind of unstable that you are, the more it's like the more the village shuns him, the more he's trying to push it. He's somebody who pushes boundaries all
yeah.
the time. So the more they say we don't want you, the closer
yeah.
he's trying to get. It's very strange, and it's completely counterintuitive to people like us who would think, ah, people might not like me. Well, I must run away, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're
yeah.
that type of person, I think you think, well, they just clearly misunderstood me, so they need to get to know me better.
Yeah.
So I must be more present, not less yeah. present.
And it was it was a really good episode. I mean, it was really it was brilliant.
It's that tension in the room
yeah,
when he
that,
you. Yeah. It's bizarre because you know. I knew he'd come in the shop before he spoke on
oh,
the radio
really?
Because of the way Susan went, oh.
And
there was like this, the tension changes completely in the
yeah.
in the dialogue. And it was
yeah.
even her, and I thought that's really weird afterwards, that on the radio you could tell
yeah.
somebody was there when you can't see them.
Well, that's because you're listening so hard. Whereas I'm usually chopping a courgette.
Just the same courgette over
it.
It's taken you ages. Julie from Pickering.
Hello, Royfield and Lucy. Julie from Pickering here. Joy, oh joy, oh joy. Hopping up and down on one foot I am. Go, Oliver, just tell Rob how it is. And Lillian's got the knife in as well. Woohoo! Laughing my bloody arse off. Come on, the rest of the village. Get stuck in. Let's have him out. Ha 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 ha. Down, Rob. Down, Rob. Yeah. Toodles.
Yeah. And when my sister heard Julie from Pickering, she went, oh, Pickering. We used to go on holiday up there on the North Yorkshire Moors. So actually, I did listen to Julie's call, obviously, but my sister was distracting me by
in
going
between reminiscing about your childhood holidays
with the steam train.
This is Dumpty Dum, presented by Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman and Harriet's sister in absentia. Who, despite not listening to the Archers, has a great deal to say about it.
He does. He really does. I'm going to get her to call in next week. Toodles.
Julie was laughing her arse off at Oliver giving Rob the bums rush. I did like that. I thought that was very good. He got as close as anybody's come to actually saying, stick it up your bottom, Robert.
Yes, yeah.
Robert.
But I tell you what really confused me, because I've been doing a lot of cooking and so been half listening. And so I listened to that episode twice because I reminded myself of it. And twice I got confused and was like, why is Justin now telling Rob that he... So in my head, Oliver was Justin.
Oh.
Isn't that weird? And it's only afterwards, and I literally listened to it twice. And then only afterwards, when I was obviously thinking about it and thinking, why has he suddenly changed his
tune? That's because you had a bit of courgette in your ear or something. Oh, you can't hear properly.
Fine. But they are quite similar in
well,
tone.
I think my recently garnered theory, produced from too much coffee too early in the morning, is that... Justin and Oliver are like two sides of the same person.
Yes.
They're like the principled gentleman farmer and then the nouveau riche who thinks he can buy his way into the country, doesn't respect... Like, Oliver respects the Grundys.
Yeah, Oliver's a proper squire.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And he respects the Grundys, he respects things. He doesn't always agree with them or understand them, but he knows that he's an incomer and he's got to shut up and let them get on with it. And he has principles, whereas Justin is just, how can I make money out of this? Fine, if it means that my business is being handled by somebody who is loathed by everybody in the village, fine.
Yeah.
And it's that, so they're the same age, they're in a similar financial situation, but it's their attitude, isn't it, that's different.
Yeah, and that's why it really confused me.
Yes, that must be why, Harriet. It really.
I was thinking, why did I miss the episode where
he completely changed his mind?
And also, why didn't I just? Justin's got nothing to do with the hunt. Anyway, now I'm so glad that that's been cleared up.
We're going to play Steve now.
Bye bye.
Hello, Dumpty Dum, it's Steve here. I haven't rang in for a while. I've got a suggestion to make. Rob's obviously the pantomime villain now, and like all good pantomime villains, he should be booed when he comes into the room. But I've got another suggestion, inspired by that wonderful film, Young Frankenstein. The villain in that film used to cause horses to neigh every time she spoke or came into a room. So I think we ought to do the same with Rob. But instead of the horses neighing, we should employ the Ambridge sheep. So every time Rob comes into the room or speaks or is mentioned, we ought to say, bah! That's me, short and sweet. Hope you're all right. I love you all. Mwah, mwah. Bye, 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 bye. Mwah, mwah. No, you go first. Bye, 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 bye. Love you. Bye, 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 bye. Mwah, bye, bye.
Steve thinks we should have a sheep noise every time Rob comes in.
I thought that was really funny.
But he is turning into a pantomime baddie, isn't he?
No, well, that's what I mean about that Halloween episode and then the audition where he is the proper villain.
Yeah.
It would be so, I mean, I think they've got to do that in one episode at least. Just have lots of sheep for some reason being in the shop. when Rob comes in. I thought that was a brilliant idea.
And just like Wallace and Gromit, just drowning him out. Every time he opens his mouth, just goes, and just gets louder and louder and more frantic.
Excellent. Yeah, I really like that idea. And that's all I can say on it.
Me too. Andrew Horn now.
Greetings, Earthlings. Andrew Horn here. First time I've called in for a while, so I have a few matters to get off my chest. I've been enjoying the lighter side recently, particularly the Neil and Susan stuff. And we now have another character to add to the list that should have a credit. Along with Linda's sniff, we have Neil's sigh. We've had it not so much this week, but in the last few weeks, in most shows, it's been brilliant. I've also been enjoying the Jazza, Kirsty, Roy light relief. What's wrong with a spreadsheet? A useful way to get your head in the right place. However, there are some dark sides coming back. Thankfully, more in a pantomime way at the moment. Friday's episode with Justin's change of character, in the way they're sort of changing him, did make me bring back sort of memories of Palpatine turning into the Emperor with the Dark Lord as his Sith apprentice. So maybe they will be the arch villains of the piece, and we'll need Super Lils to come in and sort Justin out as well as the Dark Lord. And a couple of bits of admin to finish with. I started listening regularly in 1979. There were no new characters in that year, as far as I can see, but it was the year that Trevor Harrison started playing Eddie Grundy. So I suppose that makes me an Eddie. And final note, Catherine Kavanagh and I are singing carols on the 7th of December, and Tim Bentinck, David Archer, is narrating. It's at, it's in Fleet Street. No, it's not. It's at, well, wherever it is, I can tell you where it is. You need to look on the forum in the off-topic part, and you'll find all the details there, including a link on how to order tickets. And let us know if you're coming, and we'll go for a drink afterwards. Bye.
Yes. Oh, yes. Neil sigh. Brilliant.
It's not so much a sigh as a kind of a, oh, it's like a really old dog turning round and round and round in its basket and then collapsing sideways. That's what he sounds like.
It's so perfect, isn't it? It's so perfect. And that should be a thing, like Linda's sniff. They should patent it, shouldn't they?
Neil's moan.
Ensure it.
He actually sounds like there were loads of old radio recordings of Michael Horden playing Jeeves, and he used to do this very, where he disagreed with Bertie Wooster, but he didn't want to say.
That's Bertie Wooster played by Ian Carmichael.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why we used to go to Pickering.
Are you related to Ian Carmichael?
Yeah.
Are you?
He's my grandpa's cousin.
Oh!
And he lived up near Pickering, so.
Ah.
Well, in Pickering. So, yeah, that's why we used to go up there. But anyway.
Aha.
Do carry on.
Any more members of your family you'd like to bring in?
I like bringing my family in.
Wake Tibbs up. Let her have a chat.
No. Oh, don't. She probably will wake up in a minute.
Yes, and good luck with the carols. And Andrew and Catherine Kavanagh are singing carols for a charity thing hosted by Tim Bentinck. And the details are on the Dumpty Dump forum on the off-topic bit.
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
He does remind, Neil's side does remind me of Michael Horden when he sort of goes, like this. It's kind of not, I don't want to disagree with you because I don't want to start you off, Susan, but I am kind of expressing a slight worry here.
It's the same status thing, isn't it, as well? Yes. You know, Neil is ruled by Susan.
Yes, it's like, bless him. Witherspoon now.
Oh, he should be president, shouldn't he?
Well, anyone would be better, really.
Oh, sorry, was I supposed to pause then, actually?
No, it's fine. Royfield is clever enough to fit it in.
Good, okay. He should be president, shouldn't he?
You just get to keep saying it. Neville Booth would make a better bloody president than Donald Trump.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Lucy, Royfield, Millie Bell, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. Well, it's been a difficult week for us, so I hope you'll allow me to indulge in some self-pity in just a moment, as I and 60-plus million Americans have had an even more difficult week than Rob has had. I heartily agreed with what Lucy and Royfield said in the last podcast regarding his storyline. It felt as if the scriptwriters were ramping up his presence again when we, the listeners, didn't want it. Like a very bad movie sequel, oh say Grease 2, following the original Grease. We just want Rob to go away. This week, we thought that might be happening when people started fighting back again. Bravo, Lillian and Oliver. Maybe we would have a great Robless Christmas after all, just like we thought we would last year. Then Justin hands Rob a safety rope, and here we go again. It's a damn roller coaster. And for the record, I never liked or trusted Justin. Okay, now my indulgence as I let my Witherspoon mask drop for just a bit and talk as Lonnie Bihar. I never in a million years thought what happened would happen, and I have egg on my face. I kept thinking and saying, oh, you Brits, stop comparing the American election to the Brexit vote. You're just projecting your guilt and anger onto us. We're not as ill-informed and xenophobic as you are. Boy, was I wrong. Guess what? We are, and more so. And in the process, I owe handsome husband a dollar from losing a year-old wager about the election. That Brit knew better. So now, 60 million of us are experiencing shock and depression. First it was numbness, and now it feels like grief and a sense of unreality. As the grief moves to anger, we're trying to harness that emotion into something productive. I think I share the same feelings as most, if not all, of my fellow American and expat Brit Dumpty Dum listeners here. But with those difficult emotions, we also feel the love and support of the entire Dumpty Dum community. For that, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I feel like I've made so many great friends in the last 18 months of listening and contributing to my favorite podcast. I hope to meet many of you in person in the future, and if you still want to visit New York, after all this, you know how to find me. May Dumpty Dum flourish long after the president-elect's time in office. Talk to you again soon.
Witherspoon, our thoughts are with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was it was a lovely call-in, though, wasn't it?
And I especially liked the relating... Titchy Knob's refusal to actually bugger off out of Ambridge as like Grease 2. It's not quite, the storyline is not quite as strong as the first one, and yet we're all still getting really irritated. Yes, it is very much like Grease 2. But yes, sorry America, thoughts go out, etc, etc.
I know. It seems so surreal that I can't believe it.
No.
It is like, oh, well, we'll wake up tomorrow. And yes, everything will exactly. Be back to normal. That's why I like Witherspoon's call, because now is all about being friends with everybody.
Yeah.
Being kind, being, you know, having big neighbourhoods, you know, neighbourly. Oh, you know what I'm saying, Lucy.
Yeah. So we've got to make...
Staying close and being friends.
We have got to make the Dumpty Dum community even stronger than before.
You could make it a political party.
What are the central tenets of the...
I mean, I think everybody kind of is like...
The Royfield Brown for President party, would you suggest?
Oh, Royfield would love that, wouldn't he? And he could do a whole podcast about it. Add himself to his American... He's going to have to
11
add...
American presidents. One of them's me. Yes.
Wow. And you could be first lady.
I could.
Well, I'd be really good at that, Liz.
I'd have you know, she dug it all up to build allotments or whatever she did. Michelle. I'd crazy pave it. I'd dig a whacking grey swimming pool. No more vegetables. Out. There'd be a bar outside.
And then you'd shun everybody.
I would. I'd be shunning left, right and centre. Shun, I would go. We'd be in diplomatic crisis within about a day and a half.
No, because you're the first lady, so, you know, oh, no, it would be dreadful. But I think if you've got Witherspoon in your cabinet...
Yes. He'd just have to follow us around apologising to everyone we upset, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Being really diplomatic, because he's so diplomatic.
And we could have the rest of your family can take up all the other appointments that are left.
Oh, well, I would... Can I just listen to this voicemail, just in case it's from the school?
Yes.
Sorry, Luce. I'm really sorry. I'll just quickly check. Because it's... Oh, no, sorry. It's just about curtains. It's not important. Sorry, because I haven't put school.
Oh, I see. So whenever anybody rings from that number, yes. You think, ah, is that, yes. Mm.
And it's usually a sales call, and I start panicking. Oh, my God, I'm in the middle of a job. I can't get to the school.
Could I speak to the person who deals with your cleaning, please? No, not now. Oh, we've had an emailer in.
Oh, great. Just now.
Yes, just now. Wow. This was from Vicky Cole in Kenya. She said, I listened to last week's episode just after the election results. It was very poignant listening to the Star Spangled Banner. I wanted to send lots of love to all US Dumpty Dummers. I don't want to say anything much about the archers, just well done to Oliver. And as Rob is clearly getting more and more deranged, they are working up to something huge happening. Oh gosh, need good things to happen in archers when everything else is so gloomy. Lots of love, Vicky.
Yeah.
What do you think? I do think it's going to be an abduction.
Oh, do you?
I think Rob Art is going to take little Giddy Jack away with him, yes.
Yeah, oh, that would be good, actually. Well, it wouldn't be good. It would be dreadful. But it would be quite a good...
And then Rob would get banged up, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and that has to happen, doesn't it?
Yes.
And I think Freddie, I mean, he's so hopeless and annoying, isn't he? But maybe he should, you know, if he's the guy that kind of, you know... that saves the day, that would be great for his confidence.
Yes.
But he's such a drip. He's always been a drip, hasn't he?
I'm not even sure he's aware that Rob and Helen have an issue, that there's a child or anything. He doesn't seem to be aware of anything other than himself, really.
No.
And he's a teenager and he's an overprivileged little sod. So I think, you know, why doesn't she go make him work in the orangery?
But you know what, Lucy?
A few days picking wasps out of some jam, that would sort him out, wouldnldn't it?
He did lose his daddy when he was ages ago. So heartless. I'd forgive him anything. I just, because he was only, and then he caught his mum shagging Roy.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, no, that would scar you. That would be far worse than the off the roof malarkey. Rob's buttocks leaping up and down.
Annoying, but I just think, you know, that they're, you know, poor lad.
Well, you're nicer than me. Extenuating circumstances, you think,
exactly.
Do you?
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Well, Lily's all right, isn't she? She's little Miss Overachiever.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's another thing. You've got to live with her being irritating and goody two shoes all the time. Mm. A bit odd, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but I still don't think that makes him a candidate for saving the day.
No. Well, maybe they'll just kind of drop him eventually. Mm.
Well, he said something worrying when he was talking about his geography teacher looking like something out of Lord of the Rings or whatever it was. He said, although he was talking about urban planning, which is actually quite interesting. And I thought, eh?
What?
I was thinking Freddie interested in urban planning. And then I thought, oh, is this going to be his thing then?
Boring. So he's going to get into urban. I thought you were going to say, because actually I did skip that because I was catching up. And I was like, oh, this is the bit where Johnny talks to Freddie. So I skipped it.
Was it the same courgette? You were still distracted by the same courgette.
The red pepper. No, but I thought you were going to say something more interesting, like his geography teacher, you know, was taking too much interest in Freddie.
Oh, no!
Oh.
My God, I thought I was had a cynical mind. Flipping heck.
Oh, you never know in the archers these days.
I know.
Urban planning. Oh, right, so he's going to get into urban planning and then... Yeah. Oh, no, but you know what's good in the archers now?
What?
Alistair and that nice Scottish girl.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I really like her.
Do you? Yeah, doesn't she sound about 12? She has got a lovely voice, but she sounds ever so young.
Yeah, she does, but I like that. I mean, I find him really pompous and annoying, but I like the fact that I can believe that she will, you know, in their Land Rover, they're going to
knocking into shape a bit. Well, yeah. She's going on about taking over the horsey bit, isn't she?
Yeah.
And he's going to do the rest of it. That'll annoy Shula.
That'll really annoy her. Yeah. Yes.
So it's worth doing. Ha! Right. Now you have to say tweets of the week. Oh, no. Now we have to do Millie Bell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Should I do that bit?
Yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And now we're going to have a little bit of Millie Bell, our upside-down guardian of Facebook.
So I'm in Bristol and I'm with Auntie Jean. How are you, Auntie Jean?
I'm fine, thank you very much, Royfield. Yourself?
Did you say
yourself?
Yeah. Oh, is that colloquialism?
Yeah, it is.
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, actually, the colloquialism would be how best, and you say I'm fine, thank you. How best?
I'm fine, thank you.
There you go, then.
Now, apart from being an archer and a dum-de-dum stalwart,
yes.
You have a bit of a cause, don't
I
you,
do.
That you're kind of passionate about. What is
I
that
do.
Cause?
Well, my husband has a very rare form of lymphoma called Waldenstrom's macrogoblinemia, and at the moment, there is a problem with the NHS not funding various treatments for this particular disease and this particular disease only.
Am I allowed to say, but I thought we're about to invest £250 million a week back into the NHS. So surely everything's fine with the NHS now.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Wonderful, isn't it? That bus lied big time.
Okay, all right. So you asked Dum-de-dum listeners to do what recently?
I wanted them all to sign the petition because we need at least 100,000 people so we can get it debated in Parliament.
And on what exactly do you want debated in Parliament?
The fact that the funding has been withdrawn for stem cell transplants for my husband's disease and my husband's disease only, nothing else, just his disease. Plus, there's a new drug that's come on the market which has been approved in America and in Europe, but not in Britain. And that also needs approving for his disease.
So we know that this drug works.
We do know it works, yes.
But the NHS have been too miserly.
Yes.
So you want people to sign this petition to put pressure on Parliament so at least there is a debate so it gets discussed.
Yeah, so if we get 100,000 signatures, they then consider it for a debate and it gets discussed. So we need all of you to sign as quickly as possible.
And what we also need, Dum-de-dummers, is for you to tell 3 friends to also sign it as well. There's no point just you doing it, as useful as that is, but please tell 3 others to go and sign it as well. And I'm about to give you the URL right now.
And that URL is https://petition.parliament.uk/petitions/167441. I'll repeat. https://petition.parliament.uk/petitions/167441. This URL is also on the Dum-de-dum page and on the podcast show notes.
Hey!
Good day, everyone. It's been quite quiet on the forum this week, probably because you've all been frightened off by the hacking. But I think that's resolved, and on the front page, you will see that Miss Mid-City has posted a little belatedly that she's just listened to Steve Lamarck's The Archers Roundtable special, and she's posted a link in case you missed David, Jolene and Phoebe talking about new music releases. And she said, by the way, who else knew the actress who plays Jolene was Canadian? Well, I didn't know that, so thank you, Miss Mid-City. The forum, there has been a little bit of chat, as I say. It would be great to get that revved up again. Yehan Diwar, I hope I said Yehan correctly, started discussion. It was started by Steph. Yehan has replied. Justin has revealed his true colours. Alison Johnson talking about Polduck Bridge, making some comparisons between Polduck and Ambridge. And Miss Bubbles is asking if anybody is listening to Westworld and noticing some similarities there. As you can see, the Ambridge just keeps, and the artist just keeps popping up. Doesn't matter what we're listening to or watching. This week on our Facebook page, we wondered whether Rob was going to sabotage the farm walk for Adam and point people in the direction of the crappy field. And it's a fair bit of support for that. Witherspoon says, yep, though I wonder if Johnny turns out to be a hero in dealing with Rob. Leslie Greaves says, when's he going to try and blackmail Lillian and or Justin? Robin Sutton said, do you mean the field he poisoned? And Sarah Passingham suggested, with Toby's herbal libations. Candida agreed. Alice Andrews, anyone else worried about the missing Borsetshire blaster? Sounds like a terrible firework, mind. Well, we all know what happened to that now, don't we? So a fair bit of support. I guess we'll find out about that on Sunday. I also got so frustrated with Justin this week. I was really cross. I've always found him slightly irritating. But earlier in the week, I just thought, nope, I'm ready to smite him. And I wondered whether I could get an amen on that. Well, did I ever. Big prayer went up from everyone. Witherspoon said, amen, Justin is just as controlling in his own conniving way as Rob is. To Lillian, as I've been saying to all since Wednesday morning, stand up, fight back. Liz Villalobos, ramen, she said, he really crossed the line. No, Rob hasn't been tried, but Lillian has feelings. Fiona Griffin, amen. I've always liked Lillian. She'd better do the right thing. Kate Lyle, but all the Ambridge men are like that. Rob apologists. I then got a whole heap of amens from Peter Marbert, Sarah Rockle, Alicia Waller, Pete Barlow, who sent me an amen from the whole choir, which was lovely. Joe Jackson, Lynn Moore, Susan Busley. Valerie said, Bailey said, he's pompous and I'm feeling he's a smug git. Yes, Valerie. And Martin Van Den Hoevel also said amen. And Zoe Picton gave me 1,000 amen. So thank you for that. I really loved the episode. And I decided to start a little chat about the episode demonstrating how supportive the men in Ambridge can be for each other. And I just thought it was a welcome change from them being portrayed as having underdeveloped emotional intelligence. Andrew Horn said, Roy keeping his mouth shut was good advice. And Leslie Groove suggested, Jazza supportive, that's a first. Well, yeah, I guess, but, you know, at some stage Jazza has to be allowed to be the good guy, I guess. And then, for crying out loud, Neil, if you don't want to diet, don't diet. Is Susan your partner or your boss? Richard Woodfield said, it reminds me of P.G. Woodhouse, where Jeeves was forever saving Bertie Wooster from determined women who wanted to take the compliant Bertie in hand. Sarah Woods Rockall, I've been willing him to tell her to shove her bloody carrot and celery sticks. And I'm going to leave the last word with Candida Beeching. I would have thought that if she made chili every day, then the weight would just fall off him. So thank you, everybody, for getting involved. I love another week like that. So either on our forum or on Facebook, and I'm a bit more active myself on Facebook, but many others are active on the forum. And until next week, from me, hooroo.
And now you have to say about tweets of the week, because I forgot to put that in.
Oh, okay. Now, shall we do tweets of the week?
Yes. These are mostly about Rob. Mal 675. I was saying last week that I kept having bad dreams about Rob. And he said, I dreamt last night that Rob was my PE teacher and I was at his house where he was teaching me how to make proper custard. God, Rob is a PE teacher.
Oh my God. No, that's really frightening, actually.
For those of us who were not gifted in the old coordination department, he's everything horrid about PE.
Oh, yeah.
The sarcasm, heavy sarcasm. The superiority, the only interested in people who are already good at things. Yeah. Frightening.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's obviously changed a lot now because all PE teachers are amazing now. But back in the day, they were all either creepy or bullies, weren't they?
Yeah.
Or just, they were just other teachers, weren't they, who were like told to do hockey.
Yeah. Those of you that aren't bedridden, get up and do hockey.
Exactly.
Do you know what this is? Right, excellent. You can teach it then.
We had
Mr. Ashley, who looked like Heathcliff, and everybody fancied him.
And, oh, that's lucky.
But do you know what? Mr. Ashley was this massive, great, hairy, Heathcliff-y type person who was a bit rubbish as a PE teacher. But he was a revelation because once, while our English teacher went sick, and Ashby taught us, and we were messing around and not doing what we were supposed to, and he sort of gave up on the lesson. I was at a terrible school, and he decided to entertain us instead, and he read us, and this is the strangest thing for someone like him to read, he read us Joyce Grenfell's monologues, the primary school, you know, George, don't do that, those ones. And it was the first time I'd ever heard them. And they, my introduction to them was this massive, and he was sitting there in his rugby trousers and his polyester t-shirt, reading us Joyce Grenfell, this huge with a voice like this, putting on this Joyce Grenfell voice, and I'd never heard it before, and I was just absolutely transfixed.
That's a lovely story. That's so
in a bizarre way, a PE teacher, which I was consistently shit at from the ages of 3 onwards, was sort of responsible for me getting into radio comedy and all that sort of thing.
Oh, well, I'd just like to say on behalf of all of us at Dumpty Dum and beyond, thank you, Mr. Ashby.
You massive crawler. Anyway.
Or Ashley, whatever your name.
Whatever your bloody name was. Who cares? But my other, Simon had a PE teacher who wore these awful 70s shorts with the slit up the side, the really shiny ones.
God.
And he was called Mr. Wilkinson, and everyone called him Silky Wilkie. He still has horrible memories of Silky Wilkie.
I mean, you were
good at it, though, because you're all sporty and stuff, aren't you?
I loved netball.
I could just see, rah-rah, girls, come along, leaping up and down.
But actually, I don't think...
Shoot, Veronica, shoot!
At primary school, I was brilliant at netball, and we were really good. I don't really remember playing netball at big school, though. But we had to play hockey, and I hated it. I've always hated hockey. And again, it was like, because we had really miserable... I know they were very nice people, I'm sure, but, you know, they weren't motivating or inspiring. And, you know, and if you didn't like PE, you know, they didn't bother, did they?
No.
That's really sad. And I don't even remember playing... I can't even remember any other games we did. I think it was like hockey for the girls and football for the boys for the whole year. It's just so rubbish.
Hockey's just really hard and it hurts.
Really hard. I don't know who invented it for children. It's really, those balls that really hurt, they hit your ankles.
And a big bendy wooden stick. It's a health and safety nightmare. Nobody nowadays would invent it if it hadn't already been invented.
Exactly. They'd invent Quidditch.
You're flying around. My memories are just basically the sporty people saying to the PE teacher, do I have to have her? We had her last time.
See, that's awful. No, that is, you see, that's where PE really fell down, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Picking teams. That's just so awful.
Yeah. But, you know, children are sensible. They're not nice, and they don't look at you and think, oh, we'll give her a chance. She must be feeling shit. They'll think, I want to win. She will make me not win. Therefore, I don't want her. I didn't want to do it. They didn't want me to do it. Don't make me do it. I used to go to the library and hide, and then I got hauled out. And Mrs. Bunn came marching up to find me and said, Mrs. Bunn, who was not a baker, and said, she came marching up and said, who do you think you are? And I thought, I'm someone who's not very good at hockey. That's who I think I am. But anyway.
Poor you.
It was supposed to be tweets of the week, not doing
reminiscences of
in the fifth at Mallory Towers.
You know, it still happens because at my daughter's sports day, there was a kind of parents relay race, and you could see parents getting a bit anxious when they had the, you know, the really sporty, tall people.
The ones who just happened to have bought their Nike Air trainers with them.
Yes, exactly. The really competitive ones. And then, you could see in their faces when somebody a bit shorter or, you know, less athletic came onto their team. They started looking a bit cross. Really? I could sense that there was tension among, I didn't volunteer, but I could sense it.
I love the mums when they're trying to run along in either after they've had a bit too much Prosecco or they're wearing, you know, wedge flip-flops or something, trying to do this broken ankles all over the place. You just think, no, stop, just give it up. Right.
Tweet of the week.
Yes, we've done one. Liz Anderson said, top handling of Rob by Oliver. Firm, calm, deliver message, leave quickly, avoid temptation to do celebratory jig on way out. I'd have totally done a celebratory jig. Fifi Farcher said, I hope Rob's, you know, he got Lillian wouldn't let him have the house.
Yeah.
Hope Rob's better place on the Edgeley Road is an icy, filthy, water-filled ditch just taller than he is. Yes, that would be ideal. Sean Notley said, Rob, being an alleged rapist may make you a presidential candidate, but it does not make you Mother Goose in Ambridge. Very topical. And Exeter Dormouse, on a similar theme, said, being British apparently means not causing a scene when the village rapist wants to be in the panto.
Oh, that's good.
But that was it. But they all just froze, wasn't it? Nobody did make a scene. He's right. They all just went, well, we can't chuck him out. I thought, yes, you can. You can beat him over the head with a chair. It's fine.
They've got history, haven't they? They've already had a rapist in the panto.
Yes.
You know what? That was a story that I think I found even more chilling than the Robin Helen thing.
Yeah.
Because that was really frightening.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, so that's why. They just turn a blind eye now. Yeah.
And the part of the rapist this week will be played by...
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Light relief. It's all so grim. Who'd have thought we'd end up with two rapists in the village panto?
I'm confused as where one has got to with the panto, because so now has Alice decided that's it? She's not involved anymore, and it's just Kate.
Well, yes, I think so, but we didn't. I don't think we heard that.
No,
we didn't hear, because I was quite looking forward to Alice saying to Kate, "Stick it up your jumper. I'm doing all the work here, and you're not doing anything." And but then it was just Kate trying to explain to Linda how they'd ended up with nobody. Except the corpse of Scruff in the panto, and that was it.
And Susan said, didn't she, that I think she said something like, Alice has jacked it in and now it's just Kate.
Yeah.
But it's kind of come to a dead end then, presumably.
Yes. Good. We won't have one. They want to do a talent show instead, don't they?
Oh, well, that would be good.
But we did that. Didn't they have Ambridge Got Talent a couple of years ago?
Or was that one of my Shambridge episodes? No, they did, because Millie Button won.
Yes.
Yeah, they did. I think that was the introduction to Millie Button.
Ah, well, then they can't do that again. I mean, well, why are they all going, oh, we can't possibly do that?
Also, if they've already done it. If you're going to do a panto, Mother Goose is not appealing.
What's the story?
Except there isn't really one. They just make it up. It's kind of half Jack and the Beanstalk, half the goose that laid the golden eggs.
But the goose that laid the golden eggs was in Jack and the Beanstalk.
No, that was the hen that laid the golden eggs.
What?
Wasn't it?
No, it was...
The giant.
Yeah, that was the goose that laid the golden egg.
Was it? No, because the goose that laid the golden eggs is a story in its own right.
Well, what happens in it?
It's about two... Because I know this because it was one of Eliza's reading books. It was like two poor people, a couple, And then they, and then one of their geese lays a golden egg and they become rich, but then they're not, they become selfish and, you know, don't spend their money wisely.
Oh, it's one of those usual poor people, accepted, stop trying to change yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And then they sell the gold, they sell the goose, that's it. And then there's no more gold, so then they're poor again.
Poor but happy.
No, because the giant has a hen, doesn't he? The giant. The giant doesn't have a goose. He has a hen, doesn't he? And a harp or something.
Oh, I thought it was a goose. Well, maybe. Well, I've never heard this. Oh, well.
I think Mother Goose is a mixture of both. And it's Jack and the Beanstalk, basically, isn't it?
Right. But well, it's not going to happen. Whatever it is, it's not going to happen in Ambridge, is it?
Well, good, because I don't like it.
And that's what matters. I don't like it. Don't do it.
Do Aladdin.
We should all listen to the Shambridge pantomime instead. Pluggity plug plug plug.
I just happened to mention it, didn't
you?
I
did. Well, I completely forgot, so I'm glad you did.
A new Shambridge episode up for anyone who hasn't listened. Please listen and share, because actually it's not hugely relevant to a storyline. It's more strictly. It's because I wanted to hear Vicky again.
Yay! I miss Vicky. Vicky's coming on the show soon.
Oh, goody. Yay! Goody. Why don't you get Vicky and Mike on together?
Because Mike's on the show more often than I am at the moment.
Oh, my goodness. Why don't you get Vicky and Mike doing a show?
They'd be great.
Yeah. And then you and Royville can have a holiday.
Yay. Actually, Rachel Atkins is so technically inept. I don't think she's ever been on Skype or anything. She hasn't got a Twitter account. It would be a disaster. It would just be Mike shouting, "You there, Vicky?"
I know what it would be like. It would be like that first live Dumpty Dum, wouldn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it would be like that. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay. I wish they...
So,
I wish
Vicky, that... give us a bit of a sample of the Shambridge Vicky, the Strictly Come Dancing. So what's Vicky dancing then in the...
Well, no, I mean, you know, my storylines aren't very complicated. I can only manage about six lines. The stage is so blooming long. Vicky is just, she's covering for Katya in Strictly.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's it. I've given away, that's the whole story. That's a joke. You don't need to listen now. But if you miss Vicky and want to hear somebody who's not Vicky play Vicky, do have a listen. Just go to Shambridge.
And Marvel. Don't forget to Marvel.
And share. Can you please share? Thanks.
Yes.
That's all.
That's it. And now we have to do that if you'd like to help us keep our little show on the road, Malarkey.
Sorry, should I do that?
Yes.
Should I do that? Okay. And if you'd like to keep... Oh, sorry. And if you'd like to help keep our little show on the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site. Remember to get in contact. And you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the site or call 0203-031-3105 to leave a message. Do you have to do that number again? 0203-031-3105 to leave a message. And you can find us on Twitter at Dumpty Dum. Me at Shambridges.
And me at Lucy V. Freeman.
And are you watching The Crown?
No, is it good?
It's really good. That's what I was going to say, because when you had that email from Kenya.
Oh, Kenya.
Kenya.
You have to call it Kenya now, you know.
It looks like that in the show. It's really good. Honestly, it's like watching a film. Every episode is like watching a massive budget movie. It's really good.
Because Matt Smith's supposed to be really, really good.
He is, actually. Yeah, I mean, he's very Prince Philip-like. Mm. And she's absolutely brilliant, Claire Foy.
Mm. And she's got that crack in her, that sort of the royal crack in her voice, hasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's really good. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Huh.
Most as much as Stranger Things.
That was terrifying.
I love it. We're on, like, episode 6. Oh, it's just so brilliant. I love it. And I don't even like sci-fi stuff. But it's because it's funny and silly, isn't it?
Yeah. But that little girl is so creepy.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. She's
such a good actress.
But I think...
She's going to be one of those that's writing her autobiography by the time she's 18 and a half.
She's probably already done about 50 films. isn't she?
Yeah.
And she's going to be really beautiful, isn't she?
Yes.
It's in an interesting way.
Yes. Sort of, yeah. Natalie Portman type of person.
Exactly, yeah. And Winona Ryder looks a lot like my mother-in-law.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Just putting that out there.
So we've got your mother-in-law, your great-uncle, your daughter, your other daughter. Rufus hasn't had a look in, I notice. Your sister featured heavily in the beginning.
Well, only because she didn't know what I was doing. And I get you have to go because I'm doing a podcast. And she didn't really blink an eye, actually.
You have to go.
Well, I said she could stay, but I said, I'm doing this thing, you know.
So go.
So you can entertain yourself. Well, and she was like, no, I'll just go. I don't know what you get up to.
William's quite used to everybody now. He went trotting past it all the other day. He went, oh, Witherspoon, because he could hear me listening to the calls as he went past. I thought, oh, that's weird that he now recognises the caller in us.
That's why Witherspoon should have, you know, like Winston Churchill's kind of, you know, beautiful radio speeches.
Yes.
And Witherspoon should do them to the nation.
Yes.
I think it would really calm everyone down after, you know, terrible results. That's why, you know, his call was so measured and,
yes.
And you know, not and calm. And
the thing is, we're doing it again, though. We have to remember that it wasn't a terrible result for the majority of people.
Is what Cat Brown said, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. They're pleased. They're a very happy people now.
Yeah, I know.
And they were very happy people after Brexit.
Yeah,
although the TV couldn't apparently find any, because all they could find is a lot of people going, we did what? We won? What? We are going? Bloody hell. Well,
they should have spoken to my cousins up north, is all I'm saying. there were some happy people up there. Mm. Yeah.
Right. But, should we end this shambles now?
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Good. Now, of course, I keep forgetting that there are. But that's the trouble of Dumpty Dum and all, you know, and on Twitter.
I know, we get in our little bubble of niceness.
Everybody who's not abusive
is nice. Or crackers is nice. Yes.
Yes. So anyway. Oh, and carrot batons.
Yes.
Actually, funnily, got into them since Susan and Neil, because you know when they had them the other day, you know, I thought, God, I haven't had a carrot baton for ages. Because I usually have crisps with hummus.
Right.
And I made some carrot batons. They were surprisingly good.
When you say made them, you mean
I cut them up.
It's not exactly Anthony Worrell Thompson, is it?
I know, but you know you can just buy them these days.
Already. Oh, but no, but they go all spongy then. They're horrible. They're like foam. They've got like a weird foam thing. Ooh, disgusting.
They are. They're like foamy bananas, aren't they?
Yeah.
But anyway, I do recommend everybody has a carrot baton.
Yes, everybody needs a carrot baton inside them. Is Tibbs being weaned yet?
Oh, yeah, she's 18 months.
Is she? Oh, crikey. God, yeah. Doesn't time fly.
She can speak nearly, yeah.
Can she? Can she say, I love the Archers?
I did get her to do a dumpty dum. yeah, she can kind of make noises. She can go, hello, bye-bye, all that kind of stuff. she's really lovely, actually, really cute. Yeah, really cute. How are yours?
Fine.
Good. Yes.
They're old, so they're not at the cute stage. But they're at the slightly eccentric stage, which is quite fun. I was woken up on election morning by Tilly wailing from the other room. Mummy, he took all the key states. She was going.
Oh, God.
In the same way that a child would go, Mummy, my stomach hurts. She was going, Mummy, he took all the key states.
Well, that's brilliant. So she's properly across it.
Yeah, she's quite political, actually. She's interested in it.
Well, that's amazing. The only thing I think, you know, that will come good about is that at least there has to be a massive change in politics, and maybe younger people, you know, Tilly's age actually are going to be, you know, because I suppose, you know, politics has been so boring and samey, hasn't it, for the last 20 years that maybe now is the time for people Tilly's age to become really politically engaged and change things.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it has to get really bad for that to happen.
Yes.
It?
Yeah, and that's true.
It's getting so bad all over Europe.
Well, maybe that's the good thing Because there has to be a good thing for crying out loud.
Come on, Tiller. Tilly for Prime Minister.
Tilly Button for Prime Minister. Ah, right. I'm going to go now.
Okay, but let's do a lunch. And, yes. Yeah.
You're on a pencil for a lunch.
Oh, yeah. Good. Did we pencil a date?
No.
No. Okay.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
We never do. One of us does, and then the other one's, one of their children starts, their head starts spinning round or something peculiar, so we have to cancel.
Or I get a bigger pencil.
Or you get a bigger pencil, yeah.